is Friday, December 14th, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. My website is spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1 at yahoo.com. Clint Richardson, a frequent guest on this program, will be speaking about his recent vaccine video in New York City this Sunday. For exact details, please visit his website at realityblogger.wordpress.com, and that's just one G, realityblogger.wordpress.com. Join others in the Spingola chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. RBN listeners are aware of the Israeli state's terrorist activities against the Palestinians, which were occurring even before Harry Truman officially recognized it as a country. Because of the influence of AIPAC, the U.S. government has financed, supported, condoned, and largely ignored the Israelis' inhumane brutality, their economic warfare, and their ongoing slaughter of the longtime residents of that ancient land. However, courageous, compassionate individuals have heard the cries of distress. Oh, it's starting already. Sorry, that's just me. I have a tender, tender heart. Have heard the cries of distress and desperation of the Palestinians and have gone to their aid at their own expense and at the risk of their own lives. One such person was Rachel Corrie. Sorry. On March 16th, 2003, over 9 years ago, an Israeli manned Caterpillar D9R bulldozer plowed her over as she was attempting to prevent the demolition of the home of a Palestinian family comprised of a pharmacist, an accountant, their wives, and 5 young children. Members of Rachel's family and the community established the Rachel Corrie Foundation for Peace and Justice to continue the kind of work that Rachel gave her life for. There is no greater sacrifice than to give your life for your friends. And Rachel, an extraordinary individual, did that. Even as a fifth grader, Rachel Corrie was a special, caring individual. We have an audio that we would like to play. We'll be right back.
I'm here for other children. I'm here because I care. I'm here because children everywhere are suffering and because 40,000 people die each day from hunger. I'm here because those people are mostly children. We have got to understand that the poor are all around us and we're ignoring them. We have got to understand that these deaths are preventable. We have got to understand that people in third world countries think and care and smile and cry just like us. We have got to understand that they are us. We are them. My dream is to stop hunger by the year 2000. My dream is to give the poor a chance. My dream is to save the 40,000 people who die each day. My dream can and will come true if we all look into the future and see the light that shines there.
All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Are you tormented with anxiety, depression, or other chronic symptoms of less than perfect health? In 2010, a few people got to participate in a groundbreaking discovery. Dr. Carolyn Dean, world-renowned authority on natural health, has recently patented a technology that is straight out of science fiction. and she invited me to try this product called RNA Drops. And within 12 hours of taking RNA Drops, I could feel an amazing sense of bliss. And since then, I've watched my troubles with depression and other health issues vanish into freedom and happiness again. Listen to hours of testimonials and get your trial bottle of RNA Drops at www.rnafreebottle.com. That's www.rnafreebottle.com. Pay only shipping and handling and get your free trial bottle today at rnafreebottle.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are Cindy and Craig Corey, the wonderful parents of Rachel Corey. Their website is, and that is the Rachel Corey Foundation for Peace and Justice. That website is rachelcoreyfoundation.org. Cindy and Craig, welcome to the program.
For having us on.
Thank you. Thank goodness for commercials.
Well, we appreciate always your interest and the interest of your listeners in the work that we're doing and in Rachel's story. And we're approaching the 10-year anniversary of Rachel's killing just last night here in Olympia. We had a meeting with community members organized by one of the interns at the Rachel Corey Foundation and by our project facilitator. We have a very small office, and they did a wonderful job putting a meeting together. So, you know, these things are very much on our mind, too, but we greatly appreciate the support of people like you and people all over the world.
You should have our support. And is the foundation still on East 4th Avenue in Olympia?
We are. We have a very small office in Olympia, but it's in downtown Olympia, a good place for us to be. We feel connected to our local community and things happening here. We're kind of, you know, in the heart of things. Olympia is the state capital. For those of you that don't know, it's about an hour south of Seattle. And while Craig and I spend a lot of time away from here in various ways, but doing a lot of speaking and traveling and that sort of thing, a lot of the work of the foundation happens here. And, you know, our work is widespread too. It goes all the way, you know, to other parts of the world, particularly to Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. But there's just a very strong connection between our community and that world.
I'm so glad that you have your community behind you, and that you have so many people who are willing to work with you. And you recently received a verdict in the court in Israel after you filed a civil suit, and that verdict came on August 28th, 2012. Is that the correct date?
Yes, it is. And there's sort of a long story behind that, but of course, we wanted to find out what happened to Rachel in some sort of unambiguous way if we could, and we wanted to hold those that had culpability in that responsible in some fashion. We tried to do that at first through diplomatic means, so before we really got involved in a movement like that, when we're still mourning, actually the day after Rachel was killed, we're told that President Bush talked to then Prime Minister Sharon and was promised by the Israeli Prime Minister a thorough, credible, and transparent investigation into Rachel's killing with a report to the U.S. government. And several months later, the Israelis said that they had investigated the incident, as they call it, found no wrongdoing on the part of their forces, and declined to give any report to the U.S. government. It's still the position of the U.S. government that it was not a thorough, credible, and transparent investigation. After they declined to give any sort of report out, it was possible for some members of our family and members of the government to read a legal document that supported their contention that, or tried to support the contention, that there would be no sort of charges brought against the either the bulldozer driver or any of his chain of command. But we did have the right to a civil lawsuit, so we have tried to continue to push through diplomatic channels for a better investigation in Rachel's killing, and that's really what we're calling for there. But in the meantime, the only process that we can control and push forward is a civil lawsuit. So we filed that right at the end of the statute of limitations, which was 2 years after Rachel was killed. And it finally came to court in Israel, I think the first day of hearings in court, of listening to a witness, was on March 10th, 2010. There's no jury in Israel, so you just have a judge who can decide which days he wants to hear a trial, and he has other things to do during that time, competing trials and whatnot. So the last day, we had intermittent days of a trial, and the last day that we actually were in court to hear a witness was it was July 10th in 2011, so that's about 15, 16 months after the first day of trial, and we were actually living in Israel for about 8 months out of that time, off and on. And then, like you say, the final verdict, in which the judge, it's as if he had never heard not only our witnesses and our attorney, but not even the state's witnesses. The state did bring the bulldozer driver, the commander that was in the bulldozer sitting right next to him. There was another bulldozer there that day. It also had two people in it. And there was a armored personnel carrier, and the commander on the scene was in the armored personnel carrier. So they had, I think, Cindy, in a total of six witnesses from being out in the field on the scene that day. And what was extraordinary to me is that their testimony conflicted one another. It conflicted with what they had told to the people asking questions to the military people right after the time. They would even conflict with themselves as the day went on, and our attorney would put them in cross-examination. So it ended up with their testimony being close to incoherent, but that was ignored by the judge when he said that the military's investigation was faultless and that there was no fault on the part of the Israeli military, and then, in fact, that Rachel was killed as an act of war, which then, in his interpretation, said that nobody could hold the State of Israel responsible for anything that it does in an act of war, which, of course, flies in the face of international law. So there was a lot to object about in that verdict, but at least we did get to pull people onto the stand, you know, and we had colonels, so field grade officers of the Israeli Defense Force on the stand having to answer in the questions of our attorneys, and I think that was a real milestone in terms of people being able to question what goes on there.
And so the truth did come out. The judge simply just rejected the truth and essentially blamed Rachel for her own murder.
Well, I think there are a whole lot of holes left in it. What you could see, I think, is the out from underneath the skirts of a cover-up, I guess I would say, you could see parts of the truth. But there would be a whole lot more questions that a person would want to have. Is one small example, I think, there was video taken by the IDF. They had a camera on the border. And about 12 minutes of that was released right after Rachel was killed, to Israeli TV and then subsequently to other filmmakers that were interested in this issue. They brought to court a 12-minute section of that video, but it was a different 12 minutes. It started a little later, so about halfway through the original one, and then they denied that there was ever any other film and refused to bring the entire film from that day to court. But they said in court under oath, and their attorneys kept saying, there is no other tape. There's nothing else. Yet you could go into Israeli TV or into the Cinematheque as we were in court, and you could go see the rest of that film. So you could see, you know, that there was something going on there. There was a cover-up. And when asked, it took them, I think, over a week, Cindy may be able to correct me on this, for the Israeli investigators to get a hold of that film, because it was taken immediately by the superior officers in the Israeli Defense Forces. So the people responsible for that action held some of the best evidence that it might have been available, and then refused to give it over to the investigator. Apparently, if you believe the investigator, never gave all of it over to the investigator, and yet let out different pieces of it in different places. That never played out in court. We were able to get that into the newspapers after the court date. You know, there was we did a press conference, showed these different clips, and in one of the Israeli television stations ran with it, asked the attorneys for the state if there was any other tape. The attorney said there was no other tape, that they had put all of it in court. And then the television ran with the tape that the Israeli government said did not exist. They showed it. So that's sort of a local victory, but at least it gets something out on the record.
Amazing. And especially after that long of a case, over a year that you spent there, or that the case went on. And that is amazing. I mean, it's so obvious that they were withholding evidence. And even if that evidence had been presented, do you think that the case would have resulted in the same kind of a verdict?
Yes. to be completely honest, we knew we were in Haifa District Court. There are three layers to Israeli courts. There's a magistrate's court, the district court, and then the Israeli Supreme Court. And we knew that we were in the best district in Israel. That's what we had been told by people that know the system well, by being in Haifa District Court, which is somewhat more progressive. But we were also told from the beginning that our draw of judges probably was not going to be helpful to the decision.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guests today are Cindy and Craig Corey, the wonderful parents of Rachel Corey. The website for the Rachel Corey Foundation for Peace and Justice is rachelcoreyfoundation.org. Cindy, I'm sorry we went into a break. I hated to interrupt you. I just wanted to hear everything that you were saying. So.
It's quite all right. I think that the story of our work in Israel in the Israeli courts is complicated, and there's a lot to share about it. I was just pointing out that we had been, even though we felt it was not something we could really discuss, we had been told that while we were in the best district in terms of bringing a case like this, the Haifa District Court, that the assignment of the particular judge was not favorable for us. There probably would have been other judges maybe that would have handled things differently. And that's not unlike what happens in courts here in the U.S. either. I think anybody that finds himself in a court situation realizes that it's not completely unbiased in any way. So I held out, I think, maybe more than others, some hope for the judge, because in the course of being in the court for that very long time, all the way from March 2010 until the verdict in August of 2012, I felt like our family to some extent bonded with that judge. We sat, there were 15 different court sessions spread throughout that time. Craig, my daughter Sarah, and I were at every session. We heard every word. It all had to be translated to us because everything has to be said, and he is said in Hebrew, of course, in the court. There were English-speaking eyewitnesses from the United States and from the UK, but all of their words had to be translated into Hebrew, and all the questions to them were in Hebrew. They actually had to have translators who could tell them what the questions were. So it was, you know, it was an intense and complex process in while we were sitting there partaking in it. But we sat in a relatively small courtroom facing that judge every day, hearing the testimony. We were not able to see significant witnesses, the driver in the bulldozer, the commander in the bulldozer, and I always like to remind people that there were two people in the machine. The commander was the person who was really supposed to direct the operation of the bulldozer and to be a second set of eyes for the driver. Those two and then other personnel who had been on the ground that day were able to testify from behind a screen. That was because of an order by Ehud Barak, the Minister of Defense, actually way back in 2008, in which he said the identities of these people needed to be protected. We appealed that, but they did not rule in our favor. And even in the court, we asked, or our attorneys asked for us, if just our family even could watch the testimony of these witnesses, not the public, not the media. Our attorneys did get to see them as they questioned them, but our family did not. And that was difficult because they were, particularly hearing the Hebrew, I felt like we didn't get a whole sense, you know, of who these people were. We heard no emotion in their voice that suggested remorse. I was looking for the humanity, actually, in these people that day. I remember it very well. And I remember coming out and just saying I heard nothing in their tone of voice and nothing in the words that were translated to me that suggested remorse on their part. There's an interesting article that people might like to look at written by Ed Sanders from the Los Angeles Times about that day in court. And he talks about something I did not see, but he could see the feet and the shoes of, I believe it was the driver who was testifying. And it was interesting to just read another person's perspective of what they kind of took just from watching the movement of the person's feet below this screen that the person was behind.
That's interesting. I will definitely look that article up. And we always think, well, shouldn't the accused have to face the accuser? I mean, this seems to be just a normal process here in America's courts. And I think that it's terrible that you were not able to see these people. But it does not surprise me that they did it this way. Given the circumstances of her murder and what these people were doing, were attempting to do, that she was trying to prevent, I think that the outcome of the trial was kind of predictable. We will be right back. We'll hear a word from our sponsors. Be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your two-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. heartandbody.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Cindy and Craig Corey, the parents of Rachel Corey. And I had read that article, and I just brought it up again by Edmund Sanders. And before we went to the break, I mentioned that it seems like they would have come to this erroneous, unjust conclusion, because if they had any other conclusion, if they admitted their culpability and their responsibility for her murder, it would have been saying something about their entire operation, their military occupation of the Gaza Strip, and their slaughter of innocent Palestinians, don't you think?
I think you hit right on it, and people that follow this sort of issue realize that the Israeli courts really do, that they're sort of the last defense of the Israeli Defense Forces in exonerating them from having any responsibility, not only for what they do in Gaza, but of course what's going on in the West Bank is slightly different, but still there's no review of what the military does. It's notorious that they're not held responsible for that. And you know, that bothers me in a lot of ways, but and I didn't used to point this out before Rachel was killed, but I was in the U.S. military during Vietnam War. I essentially was drafted and went over there in 1970. I think it's really important that you hold the military responsible for what it does. And I think also that, and I know we did a lot of awful things in Vietnam, but my squad didn't. And we weren't, we were combat engineers. We weren't, you know, we weren't supposed to be shooting at people particularly. But it also, if you know you're going to be held responsible, it just sets up the whole chain of command so that before something happens, they work hard. If they're good, they work hard to make sure that it won't happen, and the people around me did. And while I don't think anybody ought to be in that position of being an occupying army and all that sort of thing, if somehow you find yourself as a draftee, as the Israeli soldiers are draftees, if you find yourself there, you ought to know what's expected of you. And one of the most difficult things in the military is to view the other side as human. And that just doesn't happen in Israel, and I don't think it happens here in the United States, as it should. But that's a requirement of the job, sort of. And so anyway, that's sort of an old draftee's view of part of this.
I just wanted to add that there's a report that was put out in 2010 by the Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem, and it's called Void of Responsibility. It's accessible online. But what it addresses is the fact that that the courts do contribute to the impunity that the Israeli military enjoys. And B'Tselem and other Israeli human rights organizations like Yesh Din have really been challenging that, because the courts have a good reputation in Israel. And Craig and I, in fact, were told here, you know, that really by U.S. government officials, I think, that were looking, you know, for a way to deal with what happened to Rachel, and without having too much to do or have to do too much here right in the U.S., were advising us to go towards the Israeli courts because they have a fairly good reputation. But these Israeli human rights organizations point out that the record shows that very, very few incidents that are that occur in the occupied territories, in the West Bank, in Gaza, are ever investigated at all. There may be command investigations. In Rachel's case, there was a military police investigation. But the nature of those investigations is so inadequate and so poor that what it does is to create a situation of impunity for the military. I would just, going back to the trial itself, mentioned that the lead investigator in the case, military police investigator, did testify. And in his testimony, when questioned by our attorney, he stated that he believed that the Israeli military and government was at war with everyone in Gaza, including the peace activists. And this was the individual who was charged with being the lead investigator in Rachel's case. I don't see how any thinking person could think that there could be some objective result from what they would look at. And yet the judge, when he provided the verdict in the case on August 28, 2012, cited the investigation as being exemplary. I think that all just points to a system that very sadly allows things like what happened to Rachel and to so many others to continue, and that's really damaging to everybody in this region. I don't want to miss this morning having a chance to talk about Gaza and what's happening recently, but this just reminds me that I've had communications in the last couple of days from one of the activists who was with Rachel during her time in Gaza, not one who was with her on the day she was killed, but from a young woman who had been there prior. And that young woman is back in Gaza, and she just wrote to me about what's happening along the border with Gaza and Israel right now, where farmers are moving into the area to farm their farmland, and they've been so threatened in that area through past years. And after the recent conflict, after the ceasefire, supposedly they were going to be able to do more there. And they have been taking advantage of that, moving into the area to try to plant wheat and to do their farming. There are internationals going with them, but there are reports in the last couple of days about them being fired upon with live ammunition, with tear gas and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, what happened to Rachel 10 years ago is important for us all to remember, but to know that all of this continues and that there continue to be people challenging what goes on there.
And the U.S. continues to send the Israeli state huge amounts of money. In fact, just since the recent military operation in Gaza, they have requested $643 million to replenish their military supplies. So we know that this is going to continue, and we've all seen the YouTube video showing these beautiful, once beautiful children who are soaked in blood because of the murder by these Israelis who seem to have no personal moral responsibility for the killings that they perform. This is just the most egregious thing. I cannot understand people who would murder other people, like your daughter and other people's daughters and sons.
Yeah, the latest attack on Gaza is another one that was preventable. I mean, actually, Cindy was leading a delegation to Gaza as that violence was escalating. We left Gaza on November 11th, and we were awakened at, I think, 1:30 in the morning when an Israeli bomb hit fairly close to us. I still think it was several miles away, but I remember the flash of the light, through my eyelids. I felt that a split second before the actual concussion of the bomb, but it was getting that violent there at that time. So it just continues. At the time that violence was sort of slowly increasing from, I think when we got there on the 5th, I believe there was a mentally handicapped Palestinian who wandered close to the border with Israel and was shot and killed on that day. And then a little later on Friday, I think we went to a Shahid tent. So it's the funeral tent for a child, a 13-year-old boy, was killed in front of his home. Again, the home was, I would judge it to be about a kilometer and a half from the Israeli border. Israel said it shot at somebody that was acting suspiciously that day. They were actually inside Gaza. We don't hear that, but they had invaded Gaza with their bulldozers and were bulldozing, I believe, an olive orchard that was appeared to be about a three-quarters of a kilometer inside. This person that they said was acting suspiciously was a 13-year-old boy playing goalie outside of his house in the street. You know, I don't know what's more universal to a 13-year-old boy than playing soccer. They would call it football in the rest of the world, and less suspicious than that. And I think just holding out the humanity of each other. And, of course, people inside Gaza do fire some rockets, and they did, particularly as the hostilities broke out, they fired much bigger rockets into Israel. That's a violation of human rights. But I think we in the West, particularly organize all that and have much larger, I mean, we have 1,000-pound bombs that are a whole different level of violence in the situation. And we all sort of make heroes of our soldiers, and yet, the highest cause of death, for instance, in the Israeli military, B'Tselem, Israeli group, says that the highest cause of death in 2004 was suicide. I think that's true of the U.S. military as well. So we're literally asking our young people to do things they cannot live with. And we need to, not just point the finger at others, but point the finger at ourselves when we do that.
Oh, absolutely. And we, of course, we hear about Israelis running over Palestinian children. And in the story that Edmund Sanders wrote for the Los Angeles Times, he talks about your daughter's murder, and the driver claims that he did not see Rachel, and yet he did run over her twice.
Yeah, I think in one of the contentions, our case was that either they purposely ran over her or that there was gross negligence. And the military's continuing defense was that you can't, they said you can't see in front of the blade. You know, one of my responsibilities in Vietnam was being in charge of sometimes bulldozer operations out in the jungle, not, you know, we weren't pushing down somebody's house, but you're responsible for what's in front of your blade. And if you cannot see there, if you have a blind spot, then you do something about it or you're negligent. You know, to me, it's just cut and dry. You know, if you say, well, I can't see, and you're moving a 65-ton bulldozer when you can't see, that's negligent. And there are things, that you can even purchase, I think, for a huge, fairly large sum, like $75,000 or $80,000. You can now purchase a group of cameras and a locking mechanism that if anybody's moving around the bulldozer, you can't move it. And something quite cheaper than that would be possible. So you'd have a camera in front of the blade and there's something inside the cab so you could see what's out there. And with that suggestion, they said that it would be distracting. You can't operate a bulldozer and, you know, look up at a camera every once in a while. I sort of wondered how the Israeli military drives a car without ever looking in a rear view mirror. You know, that would be distracting too. It's just clear that you could do all those things, but that's the sort of logic that the military uses and that was used in court.
Of course.
I think a revealing thing to us was that after Rachel was killed, the U.S. President Bush actually demanded a military police investigation happen in Rachel's case. And that, as I said, is unusual for most of the harm that's done to people, to Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. But there was a military police investigation in her case. So within a few days, soldiers were giving some testimony to these investigators. And the driver of the bulldozer, I remember clearly, spoke about how the distance that he could see in front of the machine, which was really quite a short distance, you know, that because the state's position now is that, you know, even though Rachel was standing there as they made the approach on this run, that they just didn't see her at all. And the earlier testimony really that they gave when they talk about these distances suggests that it would have been mostly impossible for them not to see her. But then when they came to court, their first evidence was written affidavits that they had put together with the state's attorneys. And that's what our attorney is able to question these witnesses on in court. In these affidavits, suddenly the distances had dramatically escalated, and in their oral testimony as well, the distance that they couldn't see had suddenly grown, you know, to be like 10 times greater than what the soldier had originally testified back in 2003. I think, too, what we saw throughout was that the high command were trying from the very beginning to respond to the U.S. government. Craig mentioned, and I'm not sure if it's clear, that the tape that they had from the border, which is it's fuzzy, it's you know, difficult to figure out things that are happening, and it does turn away from where Rachel was killed 5 minutes before she was killed. But there are good questions about why that happened. Why did this camera that had been focused on that activity prior turn away 5 minutes before Rachel was harmed? But that tape was confiscated by high high command, according to the testimony, not by the lead investigator. And those high commanders had that tape for over a week, and they determined what portions of it would be given to U.S. government officials to look at as they tried to explain what happened. And what we saw throughout is we still had the highest person in command who testified, who had responsibility that day, was still saying that Rachel was not run over by the bulldozer, but that something fell on her. And that was the story that they tried to put forth to the U.S. government from the very beginning. The soldiers on the ground, actually the commander who was in the APC vehicle that day, agreed with the photos that showed Rachel had clearly been run over by the bulldozer.
Exactly.
But it just points out, you know, some of what we were dealing with.
Sure. Cindy, we are going to a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Michael Anthony's Private Stock, your source for all natural, high quality, affordable, energizing, rejuvenating, powerful, healing herbal formulas. Hi, I'm Michael Anthony. Over 25 years ago, I designed my own line of herbal formulas to serve as allies in defending the body's health and well-being. My product line is a complete arsenal of protection. To find out more about my exclusive formulas, call 845-231-1094, 845-231-1094, or email michaelanthonysprivatestock@yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's exclusive herbal formulas.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Cindy and Craig Corey, the parents of Rachel Corey. The website for the Rachel Corey Foundation for Peace and Justice is rachelcoreyfoundation.org. They are located in Olympia, Washington, and certainly they would be grateful for any support that you could throw that their way. Cindy, you were talking about, please pick up from where you left off. You mentioned the Bush administration, and we went to war against Iraq 3 days after Rachel was murdered. And I personally believe that that was a war that the United States military perpetrated in behalf of Israel.
You're right about the timing of it. And Craig and I happened to be, because of where we were living at the time, we were in Washington, D.C. at the time. Our son lived in the area. We went there after Rachel was killed. We thought we would travel to Gaza to bring Rachel's remains home. And we were told very quickly that that would not be possible, and that was because of what was happening in the region with the war that was about to unfold. I think, you know, we at the time opposed the war. Rachel had actively opposed the war with Iraq. I participated in my first large march. It was the last big war march on Washington, D.C. It was a Code Pink Women's March on Washington that was really the weekend before Rachel was killed. I'd never been in a march like that, a protest like that, but because of Rachel being in the region, because of how strongly we opposed the Iraq War, I made that trip. And also during that week, the following days, actually talked with some members of Congress, Rachel's representatives, with their staff members and with Congressman Brian Baird before she was killed to talk about the situation. So the timing, of course, was difficult in a sense because Rachel's story was pretty quickly pushed out of the news. And that may have been a blessing to us because we were completely overwhelmed. We kind of believed at the time that we would need to talk about it right away with people because the world wouldn't be paying attention at all. You know, certainly not 10 years later. We couldn't have anticipated that there would still be some interest in the story this far down the road. But we thought, you know, it would be a matter of days or weeks and nobody would pay attention at all. As difficult as pursuing accountability in her case has been, you know, we've certainly been supported by those who have continued to help us. And people made trips to talk to their members of Congress and so forth. And it's interesting that that's continued.
Yes.
Yeah.
All righty. We do have to interrupt, and we'll take a 60-second top-of-the-hour break, and we'll be right back after station ID.